Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Do you like this one better, AJ?
No.
What? You always got to be such a hater.
Well, to be fair, you really set him up for that. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's a different song. How was I supposed to know he was going to still not like it? I
mean, look, if you're going to throw me an alley-oop, I'm not throwing it off the backboard, okay?
Yeah, that's called a personality precedent. I don't know how – what do you mean, how are you supposed to know?
Okay. Well –
My question is, why do we have this Monday-ass topic for a Friday?
Because this was a topic that one of our DNVR members wanted us to talk about. Last week, we did the positive one. It's not my fault you didn't want to be on that show. We are talking about the worst rosters in Denver sports history.
That's
a Monday-ass topic.
This is such a Monday-ass topic. We just had like a great, good vibes, bet show. We're about to make a bunch of money this weekend.
Some of us don't live in a world where days of the week are relevant, so it just must be nice that you can parse topics into days of the week like that.
I've seen your guys' weekend AV shows, and they are nothing like the weekday ones.
Should have seen the one we just did.
Oh, goodness. Okay, before we get started... Green Roads, you probably know by now, but DMVR is a huge supporter of CBD, and Green Roads is a wonderful company. I've been having a hard time sleeping. I don't know what it is, but my mind just won't stop thinking while I'm really tired. And last night I took two Green Roads. I think it was the best sleep I've had in a really, really long time. I had their Relax gummies, and normally I've just been taking one of their gummies every day, and it's really helped me just kind of calm down, get ready for the night. I highly recommend them. AJ's been taking them too. They've helped with his migraines. Ryan also has enjoyed them. They're a really great product. And like we've talked to you guys before, what we support in the products that we are using, we truly enjoy them. And that's why we recommend them to you guys. Green Roads has over 30,000 five-star reviews. 30,000. You can use that promo code DMVR20 for 20% off your entire purchase.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte. Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray. Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Dump two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story. Lock. End zone. Touchdown. Two for Sutton. Got it! Oh, man! That's from way downtown! And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center. Score! It's too good to be true, but believe it! Oh, hail,
Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast, presented by Breckenridge Brewery. I am your host, Allie Monroy, and with me today, I have got Drew Kreisman, D-Line Eric Weedham, AJ Hafley, and of course, you guys already heard the sassy Ryan Konigsberg.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Some people may be listening to this on a Monday, so they will take that from you, Ryan.
Ryan Sassenberg.
We'll make sure to get your week started on the wrong foot.
Oh my God. You are just on one today. We are talking about what is the worst roster in Denver sports history. If you didn't hear our last episode last Friday, we talked about the best rosters in Denver sports history. It was a really great episode. We talked about how the Nuggets and the Avs might very well be forming those teams in the next few years that'll lead that conversation in the future. And then, of course, we all decided the 2001 Avs represented the best roster in Denver sports history on our panel. Today, we are taking another look at the worst. So, I'm going to start off with you, Eric. Since you're a ray of sunshine, let's talk about the Nuggets and one of their worst rosters in Denver sports history.
You know what? I really appreciate that intro. I am a ray of sunshine. I don't know why nobody else seems to know.
A lot better than Ryan today. He is the gloomy clouds on this Monday for those listening.
That's straight Losingberg's vibes over there. Unbelievable. And I do, starting off with me seems like the right idea since the Nuggets are the undisputed, like, terrible roster champions in the history of Denver.
I think Drew might have a dispute.
Well, I don't know, man. Like the Nuggets, the Rockies have done poorly, but they've never done like as poorly as some of these Nuggets teams. The long deserts that the Nuggets were traveling through for long periods of time were just, as you sort of scroll back and you look at a lot of these rosters that were available in these teams and like what they were able to quote unquote accomplish for some of these years. It's rough sledding, man. Like, I mean, the obvious answer when you just look at it on paper, like the worst roster that the Denver Nuggets have ever fielded was this team from, make sure I get the year right here, from 1997-98, where the team won 11 games out of, I don't know if you know, that wasn't a shortened season, that was a full season.
11.
So the reason
that's
I brought
not very many, right?
Yeah, so the reason I brought this up, I mean, you could just kind of scroll through this roster here. I mean, the sad thing is like you see Lafonso Ellis is on this team, and then
we like him.
Lafonso Ellis is a good player. The sad thing
Danny
is
Danny Thorston.
Yeah, Danny Thorston. Everyone loves Joe Wolf. Bryant Stith. There's a couple like ghost
Tony
echoes.
Battle. You're like that. It's a name.
There's like
I haven't
there's
heard.
The worst part is that there's like reverberations of the team that had one of the greatest moments in Nuggets history a few years prior with Dikembe Mutombo, Lafonso Ellis, all these guys that, you know, netted the like that warm feelings photo of, you know, Mutombo on the ground holding up the ball because they overcame the number one seed Seattle Supersonics. But this is after like just a few years later, Lafonso Ellis hurt his knee the next year, and so that team fell apart. Mutombo demanded a trade. This team was actually coached by Bill Hanslick, who now does the in-studio analysis for Altitude, and he's like kind of a goofy, jovial guy. But like even just watching him do analysis, you could tell like you don't want him in charge of your organization.
Oh my god!
Your NBA team. Everybody loves Bill Hanslick.
No dispute there. I love Bill Hanslick.
Mark Stout was the manager of the Colorado Rockies at one point. You'd be a little surprised.
Yeah, like I don't want like my coach necessarily to be a hilarious guy that you don't want me running your team basically. So the reason I brought this up is because this graph. Here represents every red line on here represents a loss and the
That's
length
crazy.
Of the line represents the amount that they lost by. You
That's
can notice there's quite a few long red lines. Like so if you look here on where is it, which is the one I found, March 1st, the Denver Nuggets like these are all like 40 point losses, like they there's a loss here where they,
so they
lost.
Didn't just lose a lot of games is what
look at this said. Look at this March 1st against Indiana. Denver lost 63-90.
Their record at the time 5-53.
Oh my god.
Yo. Big fan of this 111-72 loss to Chicago.
Yeah. 111.
Good memories, fam.
If you just look at these, they're all like
that
75.
Is crazy.
They're all like 30-point losses.
It seems like they didn't
losses.
Have any guys who could put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah.
Defend?
That if the defense was okay, a couple Munders in there.
Yeah, dude, they're full Munder. They went full Munder all the time. Unfortunately, they themselves registered ultra and mega and Google Munders, as we've come to call them, which is when you don't score. I mean, 63 points in an NBA basketball thing. I'll have to do a little research to make sure that game wasn't interrupted by an earthquake or maybe there's some sort of terrorist.
Maybe there was something else that happened.
Yeah, there has to be some other like logical explanation because there's no chance that professional athletes could be that futile.
But a different Nuggets team has the record for least points ever scored in a quarter.
Really?
Which is that was the 2002-2003 team against San Antonio.
They scored 3 points in the first quarter.
Man,
what?
Wow.
They did not.
Unfortunately, DraftKings wasn't in our life at that point.
Right before I started watching.
So this was a bad, bad team. But I have it's difficult for me to talk about this team in great detail because this was the desert of Nuggets fans. I mean, I as a junior high student didn't have the intestinal fortitude to stick with this team when they had fallen.
Understandable.
So now, sort of a before you ship at this point.
Did they not beat the Chicago Bulls this year?
I think they may.
I have a weird memory of them being.
Let's
just
look at the 8 wins. Yeah,
I was going to say, there's only a handful of wins.
There's not many data points to have to scroll through here. Let's see.
I remember them because it was like the Bulls were the best team in the NBA and the Nuggets were the worst team in the NBA. And
that actually sounds right, but this does
hold
the,
off a W.
I'm not seeing any data.
Does it
that
look like
that
it?
Might have been a different
indigenous
year.
History.
Nope. No, that's just a. So the memory of a sixth grader.
I want to know why Priest Lauderdale, the 7'4" center out of Central State, wasn't cleaning up.
325. Wait, hold on.
7'4"?
Priest Lauderdale. What a
Can
great
we
name.
Zoom in?
To see.
Let's click on him. Yeah, tell us more out. About Priest.
No,
Central State one. University.
Okay, he didn't. He was a. Wow, he averaged 3.2 points that
Damn, a storied career if I've ever seen one.
Holy smokes.
It's actually kind of amazing that team won 11 games, given they had a 23-game losing streak and started 2-38.
Yeah. How is my guy here going to be 7'4" and average 2 rebounds a game?
I got to think he his main skill at basketball was being 7'4".
Yeah.
I don't know that he had a lot of other skills to offer.
Can't move.
So this is a terrible team. This is the worst team in Denver history. I don't know if you really dispute it. They have nothing to stand on. The numbers are all against them. Numbers don't lie. But I will say, for my personal displeasure came just a few years ago when the Nuggets have in this general era where we had Brian Shaw in the last year of Brian Shaw's tenure that I was. This is when I was like in this time that I've really been paying attention to the Nuggets. And this was, I think, it was the 2014 season.
Yes, you said 2014, 2015.
Yeah, so this squad was like pretty the team had completely, they all hated Brian Shaw. It was very evident at that point. He got fired in the middle of the season, replaced by Melvin Hunt. But this was the year that when they were coming out of the huddle, near the end of the game when they were losing to the Utah Jazz, they were picked up on microphone and all saying, 3, 2, 1, 6 weeks. And the end of the season was 6 weeks. The end of the season was 6 weeks away. And then later on they tried to explain it off like they were talking about something else. It was joyless. But you know what? It taught me that when the times are darkest, that's when you have to dig in, because then you're rewarded with times like we had yesterday when things couldn't look worse. They can always be better, and yesterday the Nuggets cemented the full comeback from that era. It's no longer 3-2-1 6 weeks. Now it is 3-2-1 championship. Let's go.
Yes,
that's a good way to end it, Eric. But we did have someone in the comments talk about 2001 being one of the worst years for the Nuggets. Do you remember that one?
No, but it doesn't matter. Like, you can just, if you just had a grab bag and you just like put your hand into the bag and you pulled out a year for the Nuggets, like, there's a pretty good chance it would rival the worst sports.
Okay.
Had terrible, terrible. This is why the Nuggets have such a perception problem, because they were just so bad for so long. Ownership issues, nobody cared. Like, they just existed to exist. That rainbow uniform that everybody loves now represented, it was like, you were putting on a clown uniform to go out to play basketball. They're like, let's be big and bright. And it's not funny when you have like a funny, colorful mascot and you're completely inept. It doesn't, like, the two don't jive.
It's so, like in Step Brothers when he rips ass and the guy's like, the tuxedos suddenly aren't as funny to me.
Yeah, totally. Yes. So, it's taken a little while for me to like regain my relationship with those rainbow uniforms, because
makes sense.
But to me, it was like just putting on clown makeup to go watch a basketball game.
It makes sense. I mean, Harrison, even when we were talking about the best rosters last week, he was like, can I come back next week for the worst? Because I think I have a lot to say and could actually win that one. But Patrick said maybe Drew will win this one. Harrison was unable to be here because he is in press conferences all day for what the Nuggets did yesterday during the trade deadline. Drew, I'm gonna move on to you. We're gonna hit the real bad ones and then move on from there. What do you think is the worst roster? Who are you nominating for the worst roster in Rockies history?
So there are a few also rans here, but I'll just come right out and say the team that I'm picking for the worst is the 2012 roster. It was close between 2012 and 1993. 93 gets a little bit of a pass for being an expansion roster and, you know, the brand new team, that whole thing. So 2012, you're looking at a team that was just pretty fundamentally bad. They did have one terrible stroke of bad luck by losing Troy Tulowitzki for most of the year. But fundamentally, they were just bad. They do hold the record for most losses in franchise history at 98. After that, there is the
that is a lot
2014
of games.
Team that lost 96 games. In 2005, they lost 95. In 93, they lost 95. And then a couple of times they've lost 94 games.
Did you consider nominating this year's team as the potential one?
No, I don't think I actually don't think that that's
no. I know that's
likely.
Not your brand. I know. We got the pitching staff. I know.
Maybe post Story trade.
If they trade Trevor Story, the problem. One of the things that these stats that Patrick and I have been putting together all really for about a year now, and why I've got all these numbers at my fingertips is because one of the things we've recognized is that when the Rockies pitching is at least decent, they'll be okay. When they're really terrible is what happened in 2012. Because if I were to just read off some of these names on their offense from 2012, Todd Helton, Carlos Gonzalez, Dexter Fowler, Michael Kadire, DJ LeMahieu. Like I said, Troy Tulowitzki only played 47 games. Charlie Blackman, Jason Giambi was still suiting up a little bit coming off the bench for that team. The problem was the guys who replaced Troy Tulowitzki were Marco Scudero, Chris Nelson, Jordan Pacheco. And really, but no, your problem was this is your starting pitching staff. Jeff Francis at age 31, his last year as a starting pitcher, and he just injuries ravaged him by that point. He put up a 5.58 ERA. Next most innings, he's the only guy who pitched over 100 innings. Next after him, Alex White.
Oh, no.
Alex White had the second
other guy
most
in the
number of innings.
Deal.
That's right. He pitched 98 innings. To a 5.51 ERA.
No, that was the Ubaldo deal, wasn't it?
Right. No. Yes. Drew Pomeranz, Alex White, and Wilton Lopez was the other one.
Oh, God.
Drew Pomeranz, speaking of which, was the next highest innings pitch, 96, with a 4.93 ERA, the best of that group. Then after that, Jeremy Guthrie, remember that hole?
Yeah, yes. He was the opening day starter, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he wrecked on his bike, and then it was just all over for him.
Yeah. He'd been an all-star with Baltimore, but came over and was just absolutely awful for the Rockies.
He wrecked on his bike before opening day, and it just was never the same. Although,
the poor guy.
I don't even know if you could say he was never the same. He just was never good.
Yeah, I mean, he... he also sort of famously came out and said, yeah, I kind of quit on the Rockies once I just, my stuff wouldn't work at Coors Field. He had a whole Jeremy Guthrie is one of the worst.
Just admitting, I just quit. Yeah, I was over it.
You also had Christian Friedrich picking up a decent number of innings for that
former
team.
Former number one pick, right?
Yeah. I think he was a first round pick. Then you had, remember that was the year that Jamie Moyer at age 49, made 10 starts for the Colorado Rockies.
That was the single worst thing I ever witnessed my Major League Baseball team attempt was to bring back essentially, a guy that was older than both of my parents.
That was, did he get the record for oldest person to ever get a hit, or was it oldest person to get an infield hit?
Both of those sound probable. I know he's the oldest pitcher to ever secure a win, and
he was
49.
He was the oldest to do a lot
to do all of the things that happened. It was something. It really was. And if you'll also remember, that was the year the Rockies just started rushing dudes straight from Double A and totally ruining their prospect status. Eddie Butler and Juan Nicasio both fell victim to that as they were in search for pitching. In 2012, they just threw those guys into the fire, and both of them got burnt up pretty good. The bullpen was actually okay, but the starting pitching was just absolutely miserable. So as much as you're like, hey, some of those position players were pretty good, it's just a reminder that 98 losses will show up if you can't.
So we have someone in the comments saying, Purple World Order said, I was at the game in 2012 where he became the oldest pitcher to win a game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, I also saw Moyer pitch in the saw him pitch in the minor leagues in 1988.
Wow.
You know.
The best part about the position of pitcher in all of sports is that it literally, all you need is just a rubber arm, and then none of the rest of your body has to be athletic in any way, shape, or form. You can be Bartolo Colon. You can be a 49-year-old man that just has a rubber elbow, like a rubber shoulder.
Yeah.
And then it's great. That's the best part of it, baseball and sports.
Totally. I want to throw one other nugget at everybody just because this is wild to me. The team that's lost the second most games in franchise history was just 2 years after the 2012 team. The 2014 team lost 96 games. What's wild about that is they have the best team OPS plus. In other words, they have the best offense in Colorado Rockies history.
Wow.
The 2014 team was the best offense, featuring Justin Morneau, DJ LeMahieu, Troy Tulowitzki, a rookie Nolan Arenado, Corey Dickerson, Charlie Blackmon, Willene Rosario, their catcher, who hit 13 home runs that year. You know, they Cargo was on that team. Kadir was still on that team. Those guys could rake, but they ended up losing 96 games. Because again, the pitching status.
Wow.
De La Rosa, the worst year of his career. Franklin Morales, Jordan Lyles, Tyler Matzik.
Oh, Jordan Lyles.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't really prepare myself for the emotional trauma that this episode is going to cause.
Told you, not a good Friday topic.
No,
Monday-ass conversation.
No, yeah. Like you said, Eric, it's just making us, you know, look at this upcoming Rocky season opening days on Thursday, being like, okay, you know.
It can't be worse than that,
we've been
likely
through a lot.
I'm saying, that's why when everyone's like, man, this team's going to lose 100 games. And I'm like, bro, if a team that gave Franklin Morales 115 innings to pitch to a 72 ERA plus didn't lose 100 games, then a team that's running Germán Márquez, Kyle Freeland, John Gray, and Antonio Sensatella out there regularly isn't going to lose 100 games. Like, bad you have to be to lose 100 baseball games?
We just need to put a trigger warning on this episode.
It's making you guys are laughing, reminiscing about the old times, remembering how rough some of those moments were, and look at where we are now with the Nuggets and the Avs, the Broncos like making some moves with George Payton. Like Drew just explained why you shouldn't be thinking that the Rockies are going to lose 100 games. It's not, I'm not saying it's a Friday topic, but you can stop it. One of our members asked for us to talk about this, so
this is why we come up with the content.
Yeah, right.
Can we guess which members? No.
All right, Ryan, come up with the freaking topic then. You are so irritating. Aaron, in the comments saying Blue Slide Park in the background at Aaron.
Oh, yeah. Look at me. I'm hitting the kids.
Wow. Adam is saying AJ is a big mood right now. I feel like AJ always is big mood right now.
I think that might be his new nickname. I think AJ is going to be referred to only as Big.
I'm good with that.
That's good. It's like Big Moose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll just be like, mood, when he comes into any room. I can't wait.
Okay.
Big mood. I like it.
Before we keep going with the Broncos and the Avs, and we had Justin Michael in here adding his opinion for CSU, maybe we'll add just one buff one in there. I got to tell you guys, being a DMVR member gives you access to asking us questions and letting us think of topics to talk about for this show. Last week was great, just because Ryan's a little salty about having to be on this week's show. Thank you guys for everyone who asks questions in the DMVR Lounge, DMVR Discord. It's so awesome to be able to talk to all of the members when the Buffs games are going on, when the Avs games are going on. It's a great way to just like be really one with the community. And then on top of that, you get all of our written content, all of our video content. You get all the podcasts that we host. And then you get member-sized beers here at the DMVR bar, which are like twice the size of a regular-sized beer. And you get all of the DNVR merch that we have. And right now we have a fun new perk for the next 300 members. If you sign up to become an annual DNVR member, not only will you receive a free shirt of your choice from the DNVR locker, but you will also get a recovery holistic stick from Holistic Wellness. Ooh. Holistic Wellness is all about that CBD product. Like I told you earlier about Green Roads, that's been helping me sleep. But CBD really just depends on what's going on with you. And we're learning all of the new benefits that CBD is giving to people. So definitely check that out. Use, and if you like the Holistic Wellness products, you can go to holisticwellness.com, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-K wellness.com, and use the promo code DNVR30 to get 30% off of that. And again, when you become a member, you get all that and a free sample of their products.
And I have to say, I have three shirts in the chamber.
Right. Oh,
so that's news to me.
Up, you'll be able to potentially choose one, unless you don't like them. And another thing that you should consider joining is that we may slander your topic live here on the internet. That's another benefit to being a member.
Right.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Well, but again, that makes you like family. We really treat everyone like family here. Ryan's being a little bit of an annoying bully this afternoon, but it's okay. So Ryan went late on his bet show, and that's why we ran late on coming onto here, because like Austin said, he was just giving out winners on DraftKings Sportsbook. So Ryan, give us a few of your winners for the people on the Denver Sports Podcast.
All right. The Nuggets are taking on the Pelicans tonight. The Pelicans just, I don't know, they're kind of messed up. They just kind of like watching Steven Adams get bodied by Nikola Jokic the whole game. They don't send doubles. They just let Steven Adams get pushed around. And Jokic averages 29 points per game when he plays the New Orleans Pelicans. So take the over 25.5 for Jokic tonight. He's also someone who doesn't get affected by these like emotional swings. Like, I'm a little worried about Jamal being like too sad about Gary tonight.
Me too. Well.
Jokic just goes out there and balls. He's like, everyone get out of my way. I've got buckets to get. So yeah, and to the question in there, is Aaron Gordon started tonight? No, he's not. Most likely Sunday for the new guys.
Sunday, yeah, or Tuesday is what Adam also said. So just look out for that. And then Diego asks, you guys know when the fans are allowed back to watch the Nuggets at Ball Arena? I believe it's April 2nd.
Yeah, they just tickets are going on sale for the general public this weekend.
So definitely keep an eye out on that. But do you have any other winners, Ryan?
Gonzaga minus 13 over Creighton, and Baylor, I think, is minus 7.5 against Villanova. I think both of those two one seeds kind of flex their muscles this weekend.
And if you want to bet on the tournament, you can pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for a shot at winning $100. All it takes is $1 bet and that team winning for their winning their next game. All you have to do is download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code DNVR. Like I said, when you sign up, you can turn $1 into $100 if the college basketball team of your choosing pulls off the win. Recommend taking the bets that Ryan just said, and that's code DNVR. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Eric, with AJ here present, I need you to explain to him why you saved so much money on Gabby insurance, because the Avs guys and the Avs community thinks that like the story keeps getting a little more intriguing, a little more things keep coming up. They're very confused by it. So you use Gabby insurance and it came out that you could save almost $1,600 a year.
Yeah, it was over $1,600 a year. I have multiple policies, and so it's a cumulative thing. You know what it is mainly is that I don't drive my car anymore, and so through Progressive, I imagine that my car rate, like that I pay for my car, is based on, you know, how they always talk about you, they base it off of how you drive or whatever. I drive so
yeah.
Like the amount that I drive per year, I put in a number, and they were like, you have to put in a higher number than that. That's like, I think I tried to put 1,000 miles a year. That's like 2,000 miles a year is the lowest that we will allow you to say. So anyway, I've now found out that I've been throwing almost $2,000 a year into the trash. and it makes me feel both exhilarated by the product that Gabby is, and bad about myself for not being more on top of my finances. Okay.
Thank you. And it's not just Eric. Multiple people at the DNVR fam have used Gabby Insurance and are saving around $200 to $300. But on average, people who use Gabby save up to, what was it, $961 a year? Is that what it is? You guys all do this?
961, yes. 962. It's one
962.
Of those.
We've had some.
I wouldn't want to short them a dollar.
Okay, 962. We've had some members use it, and they really experience and they really enjoy it as well. Basically, when what they do is they can save you a lot of money. Gabby literally stands for Get a Better Insurance. So go use Gabby Insurance. Gabby customers, like I said, save $961 per year on average, and they'll never sell your information. So no annoying spam or robot calls. Put your policy to test like we did. Get a better insurance with Gabby. It's totally free to check out, and there's no obligation. Go to gabby.com/DNVR. That's Gabby, gabby.com/sports/DNVR. My brain is not working. Okay, let's move on. AJ, let's talk about the Avs. What is the worst roster the Avs have ever had?
So there's a couple of options here. Obviously, the 16-17 team has a special place in all of our hearts because of that 48-point fiasco that featured a handful of guys who are still on the team. I'm kind of torn because I think the worst built team in Avalanche history was the 08-09 team. That finished with, I think, 68 points, 69 points, 69 points.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Word. And the Avs, like, so the Avs lost 60 games in 16-17. So it would be easy to say that that was the worst team. But there were a lot of mitigating circumstances around that team that really helped lead to the lost season. Patrick Waugh quit in August after they had gone through their entire offseason and had set up all of the conditioning and blah, 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 blah. So 4 weeks before training camp was set to open up, the Avs are looking for a new head coach. They get Jared Bednar in there. Jared Bednar doesn't have time to hire any of his assistants, any assistance that he needed. He got lucky in that Nolan Pratt had already been hired by the Avs as an assistant, and Nolan Pratt had been on his bench in the AHL the previous year when Bednar coached the Calder Cup champion Lake Erie Monsters. So, fun fact.
That is fun.
not much else about that season was very fun, though.
Yeah.
They had injury problems. They lose Semyon Varlamov for the year in December and have to play Calvin Pickard and Jeremy Smith.
Jeremy Smith.
It turns out neither of those guys are in the NHL anymore, and that was kind of a theme from that team, is that a lot of guys from that team are not in the NHL anymore. The Avs claimed Matt Nieto off waivers halfway through the year from the San Jose Sharks. And immediately dropped him onto their second line next to Matt Duchene. And everybody went, this guy's okay.
Yeah.
All right. He's not great, but this is an improvement. They also claimed Mark Barberio off waivers from the Montreal Canadiens. And immediately dropped him onto their top defensive pairing next to Eric Johnson. And everybody went, all right, this guy's okay. I don't hate this. And then at the trade deadline, managed to be the only truly terrible team in recent NHL history, completely incapable of selling off any of their players for draft picks. The only deal that they were managed to get done for futures was Jerome Iginla for a fake fourth round pick that had no chance of conveying. None. It would have required a really bad Kings team to win the Stanley Cup. It was stupid. They did get Sven Andrighetto out of that deadline, a guy who came in at the second half of the season and immediately got dropped on their top line next to Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, and everybody went, all right, this isn't so bad. We can live with this. And, you know, he's no longer in the NHL. And actually,
I miss Sven.
Sven, good luck. I mean, he actually, I think, secured like a 5-year deal over in the KHL. So
nice.
He's set
doing
up.
Okay.
Yeah, he's probably getting paid in trash bag, but he's got himself some security. So
scored a playoff goal, right, against the Preds.
Yeah, a game-winning goal, yeah. No less. But that was the Hamburglar game, though. We don't give Sven that credit. That was guts all over the ice.
The Hamburglar game.
That was guts all over the place.
Yeah. So the 48-point team, I think, is probably the right answer here. Again, they lost 60 games. But they were kind of victim of circumstance. They had some key injuries along the way. They just couldn't handle losing Semyon Varlamov more than anything else.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the 08-09 team was worse in terms of how it was built. Its goaltenders were Peter Budaj and Andrew Raycroft. Its best defenseman was arguably John Michael Lyles. Maybe an old man Adam Foot. Maybe an old man Scott Hannon. Like, it was just a bad roster. Really just not a talented team. But that 16-17 team is definitely – that's the one we all remember, right? Matt Duchene asked to be traded, said, oh, my God, this is a disaster. I want out of here, please.
Okay.
Funny enough, none of the other guys that stuck around actually felt that way. So,
interesting.
Yeah, they famously tried to trade Landeskog, and Landeskog went to Sakic and said, "Don't do it. I want to be here, and I want to be part of the solution." And he has been. So, take
there
that,
you go.
Matt Duchene.
You know, yeah. You know what sickens me about your story is that the team won 22 games, which is double what that negative roster was.
Double.
The
yeah, I mean,
your sports play the same.
It's just different
games,
between
right?
every
I'm new to
sport.
The hockey, but
yeah, like to lose 60 games in a hockey season is unfathomable.
Yeah, it sure is. That means you won 22.
Yeah. And for what's crazy is like they were the worst team in like modern history. There have been some teams like some expansion teams that were bad. I think the Washington Capitals in their first ever season won like 7 games or something.
Wow.
It was, yeah, and it was just a different, totally different existence. A funny story, Peter McNabb actually was telling me he credits the start of his NHL career to that Caps team because they played in the preseason that year and McNabb scored twice in a preseason game against one of their truly awful goaltenders. And that was the catalyst for him making the team. And if you've ever had a conversation with Peter McNabb, he completely downplays his NHL career and acts like he was the biggest bum to have ever cashed an NHL paycheck. Disregard that the man recorded 800 points in his career. Okay? Like, he had a very, very good NHL career. But he credits that Caps team with helping get his career started because they could not employ NHL caliber goaltenders. So, fun story.
I can't believe that guts all over the place and the hamburger. That was all so long ago. Like,
that was the very next year after the 48-point season.
It feels like that was forever ago, and it really was only 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much this team like flipped it around after you saw Matt Duchene leave, leadership step up, Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon. Like it really was such a game changing year for them forward.
You look at like that was the 16-17 Mikko Rantanen's rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
He had 20 goals and 18 assists, and he was that team's highest goal scorer. Nathan MacKinnon had 53 points in 82 games that year. 53 points.
That's crazy.
In what did I say? 82 games? Like,
yep.
You can hear Brandon Spano. Yeah, he is also freaking out about that because Because the idea that he would only have 53 points in a full season is ridiculous now. Because the next year, he took that jump. You consider right now, I said that Mikko Rantanen had how many? 38 points?
Yep.
That season. You know how many points he has today, this season? 39.
Yeah.
So gives you some perspective on how truly awful that team was. There were nights where I would actually get to the arena and I would still be like setting up the laptop, getting a drink, getting comfortable, saying hi to the scouts, asking them for, you know, for the haps, and the Avs would be down 2-0.
Mm-hmm. That was a rough one.
And they didn't come back on anybody. They didn't do anything. The highlight of that year was the night that Nikita Zadorov killed the Winnipeg Jets and looked like he had murdered Mark Scheifele, and Jacob Trouba jumped him from behind. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds fun.
All right. There you go. There's the Avs.
They're still yelling, so I'm just trying to – do I unmute myself? Mute myself?
We live, pretty close to the bar. I can hear Brandon from our house.
Pretty much always. All right, let's move on to some football talk. I will say, if you're being sexist in the comments, I will block you or put you in timeout. So let's behave. It's 2021. But Justin – said, just hopping on to say the 2010 CSU football team might be the worst sports team of my life. And then we had a Buffs fan say, I nominate the 2012 Buffaloes.
Okay, so if we're going to talk college football, we have to talk about the undisputed worst team.
We'll do it quickly.
In Colorado sports history. We are talking about the 1895 Colorado Buffaloes.
We all know it well.
Everyone remembers the 1895 Buffs because I've brought them up on this show before.
The whole team was stricken with cholera, if I'm not mistaken. They came down with...
I need you to hear this.
It was like a bad Oregon Trail experience.
It really was. The Buffs went 0-4 that season. Okay, that's not too bad. The final score, the final cumulative score of the season... 231-4.
Wow. They scored 1 point a game.
So back then, touchdowns were only worth 4. The only touchdown they scored in the entire season came on late in the finale of the season on a fumble recovery by a guy by the name of George Darley. So they scored 0 offensive points the entire season. And they famously lost to the School of Mines 103-0. No one can beat this.
You have brought that up multiple times. It's so fascinating to me.
103-0.
The engineering school. School of Mines.
What's funny is that CU actually disputes one of the scores. So they played a team. They played the team that was the Denver Athletic Club. They didn't even play a college. They just played a local rec center. DAC claims they won the game 36-0. The Buffs say it was just 20-0. They've stuck to that.
What side of the argument are you on here? We need to have your official stance. Who do you side with, DAC or the Buffs?
I'm, you know, just the way the rest of the season went, I just have a hard time thinking DAC only put 20 on them.
That is some trying to get that. That just reminded me of that because of the Mighty Ducks is back. We've been talking about it on Discord today. Everyone should subscribe because then you can hang out with us and talk about the new Mighty Ducks show and be ridiculous. But that line when the girl says, "One time we only lost by 5 and we almost scored a goal too."
Yep.
Like haggling over. Hey, we only lost by 20.
Yep.
my favorite Simpsons, or one of my favorite Simpsons lines was like. Those Shelbyville guys think they're so cool. That's why we nearly beat them in football. Or we beat them in football nearly half the time.
Okay, also we've got the 2012 Buffs, as was mentioned by someone else. This is the worst team I've ever watched. And if any of those guys are watching, I'm sorry. I like a lot of the guys who are on those teams. Nice guys.
Facts are facts, though.
But... the team leader in passing yards was Jordan Webb. He threw for 1,400 yards. Then there was Nick Hirschman behind him, 589. They tried out 3 different quarterbacks. None of them worked. Hirschman threw 2 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. Connor Wood threw 1 touchdown to 4 interceptions. And then Jordan Webb, who was the eventual main starter, 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. The leading rusher on the team ran for 691 yards. The leading receiver on the team caught for 446 yards. It was Nelson Spruce, who turned out to have a great career, but he was a true freshman that year. On the other side of him, my guy, Tyler McCullough, also a freshman. So you had like two white possession receivers as your two main outside starters. It was not working. And of course, this game was the
big mood.
Big mood.
I got to pull up the score here. This is officially the worst sporting event I've ever watched in my life. The Buffs lost to Fresno effing State. 69-14.
Nice.
Not nice.
I've never seen anything like this. It was 35-0 at the end of the first quarter to Fresno State. Now, Fresno State did have Derek Carr, but this was embarrassing. The week before that, they lost to Sacramento State at home. And then the week before that, they actually lost to CSU, one of the few times in this era that even when the Buffs were at their worst, CSU actually got them this year. They beat Washington State that year on – they deserved to go 0-12. They beat Washington State that year on Mike Leach just being an idiot. He kept throwing the ball when they were up like 21 in the fourth quarter. The Buffs pull off a miraculous comeback. I cried after the game. So did John Embry. There's lots of tears.
We're not going to lose every game.
Yeah, it was quite the relief. But a couple other scores from that season, 42-14, 51-17, 50-6, 70-14 to Oregon, 48-0 to Stanford.
Yeah, put up 2 touchdowns on Oregon.
That's still
56-31 to Arizona. I believe this was the game that Kadeem Carey ran for 325 yards on them. 38-3 to Washington. Yeah, so that's the worst team I've ever watched. It's not even close.
As a student, the 2014 Buffs football team, that was rough. They went 2-10, and like I was a sophomore, and it was just like no one wanted to go to the games, and it was just not. It was just sad. But that was me as a student. I can imagine 2012 being a lot worse.
They never had a chance in any game except for the one against Sacramento State, CSU, and the one they won against Washington State.
You just thought you had a chance against CSU. I got to say, this topic has made me very depressed.
Okay. Well, we got one more Broncos talk real quick. But before we get to that, and then we get to do who won the week, which that's always fun. That'll maybe brighten a smile on your face. So whether you're looking to refinance your current mortgage or buying a new home, Mike and Virginia will make the process as simple and smooth as possible. You can check out Chevalier Mortgage. I hope I said it right. It's my first time having Chevalier. Is that? Yep.
Yeah.
Right. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit www.dnvrmortgage.com. They will help you out. And we've had a lot of members actually go to them too and say that the process was so smooth. Buying a house or refinancing your home can be just like a scary, you don't know what you're going to get process. They make it a lot better. And then visit them at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat of your choice. When you do so, most importantly, get set up with a free consultation to discuss all of your options. That's dnvrmortgage.com. Mike and Virginia will work tirelessly to find the best loan for your situation. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com. Like I said, to enter to win a DNVR hat or shirt for free. And then... Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006, Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631.
All right.
Okay. Haven't done that part. All right, Ryan, hit us with the Broncos real quick, not too depressing, so we can move on to who won the week.
I was going to say, this is tough for me. Like, you could go back to, like, the 1962 Broncos. I don't know anything about them. You're going to have to talk to Mace about that one. There's a team in the 80s that was really bad. Again, not familiar with them. The worst team in my lifetime, which there's not very many bad ones except for the last 5 years other than this one, it's the 2010 team.
Drew's very annoyed at you for that.
The Broncos are always so good.
I mean, they.
I was like 2012, 2014. Last year was terrible. This year's going to be crap.
11 games.
Like, I don't even know what to choose from.
Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, up until the Vance Joseph era, the Broncos had never had back-to-back losing seasons in my entire life. So this team, though, in 2010, just – I don't know a better way to put it other than they just had no juice at all. Like, juiceless. Kyle Orton was the starting quarterback. He went 3-10 before, of course, Tim Tebow started the last couple games. That was kind of exciting for a few seconds there as Tim Tebow completed 50% of his passes.
Hell yeah, he did.
Which was pretty on brand for him.
Not something he would replicate the following year.
Yes, yes. Knowshon Moreno was the leading rusher. He had 779 yards. Tim Tebow, actually, in those spotty chances, was actually second on the team in rushing with 227 yards, including like a, I think he had like a 60-yard run, Drew, against the Raiders. The leading receiver, this was like the only exciting part about this season, is Brandon Lloyd, who was just a regular guy for most of his career, just went crazy this year. Caught for 1,400 yards. Every game was good for like one insane catch, like one-handed spinning. That's about the only good thing I can say about this team is like that was dope. On defense,
good memories.
You had like a 37-year-old Brian Dawkins playing for you. Mario Hagan, Jason Hunter, Nate Jones, Kevin Vickerson. You did have 32-year-old Champ Bailey, who was still playing well.
Chip Bailey, baby.
This team was real. Like, I remember going into the next draft, the next season, when, of course, they drafted Von Miller after this year. But, like, I remember just, like, Sports Talk Radio being like, the Broncos need to find a starter in, like, every round of this draft. Like, like wow. they have holes everywhere on the team. And I think most, at least four guys that they drafted that next year did start the opener of the night. Like, they were just desperate for any sort of influx of talent. It was tough to watch. It was really, really tough to watch.
All right. And with this depressing Monday version of the show, we are going to go to
this.
I thought it was great conversation. We're going to move on to who won the week.
Should we switch it to who lost the week this week?
No. No, no, no. You're just being
annoying.
Who was
the worst? And who was the worst? Who really sucks? You're all still listening to this.
All right. We're pressing play on the music.
Who did the most and who did the least? Who was the dog and who was the beast? Who's in the boat and who's up a creek? Let's see. Who won the week?
All right. We are going to look at last week real quick. The Avs won. Nazem Kadri, for recording 6 points in two games, won 48.7% of the votes. Second place was the Nuggets for their big three. And then we got Broncos fans for new GM looking for a long-term success and Connor Joe for his inspiring training camp.
Hell yeah, Connor Joe.
Spring training.
Yeah, Connor Joe.
Connor Joe recovers from testicular cancer, loses out to the Broncos GM for checks notes, doing his job.
Wait, George Payton won last week?
No, okay, he was third place.
Okay, good.
Okay, AJ, you get 15 seconds to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Go.
Have you ever thought about what ghosts
no,
do?
No, that is not what your 15 seconds should be.
I'm just saying, if you were a ghost, what would you do with your spare time? Because we talked about it on the Avs show, and we came up with the right answer.
Yeah, I don't think it was the right answer at all.
Do we get
it was the honest
answer? Do we have to go?
No, you have to go watch it.
It's left up to the imagination.
Okay.
But if you're a ghost, it wouldn't be up to the imagination.
It would be the right answer.
Okay. We're going to start off with you, Ryan. Why did whoever you want win the week?
Yeah, George Payton won the week.
Again?
He really, really had a great week here. Since the last show, he, of course, signed Kyle Fuller to a one-year deal to give the Broncos a really strong three-corner setup. And then did what a lot of people didn't think he would have the opportunity to do and brought back Kareem Jackson, on a one-year, $5 million deal, which is one hell of a deal. It reminds me exactly of the Shelby Harris deal last year. So now you've got five really strong players in that Broncos secondary, and you're starting to see the makings of a great Broncos defense.
You got to fit your whole final sentence in before 30 seconds.
He was too good to keep it into one 30-second span.
All right, Eric, you go. Why did the Nuggets win the week?
The front office won the week because Tim Connelly, Calvin Booth were finally able to pull off the big trade that has always eluded the Denver Nuggets. They got a bona fide superstar coming back in Aaron Gordon. Yes, it's going to be the core four. It's going to propel this team to new heights. The Nuggets have always been the bridesmaids, never the bride when it comes to these last-minute trades. They were actually able to do it this time, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a brand new era in Denver, Colorado. The Nuggets are real. Let's go.
The Nuggets are real, unlike the ghosts that AJ wants to talk about.
That's what they want you to think.
AJ, go.
Well, the Avs won the week because they took out their biggest rival in Minnesota in back-to-back games with a combined score of 11-1 and completely dominated and embarrassed them. And then they went into Arizona in a back-to-back and survived a Jonas Johansson start, got 3 or 4 points. And then in the clash of the Titans atop the Western Division, actually absolutely smoked Vegas last night. 1-5-1, tied for the division lead going into the game tomorrow. Easily won the week because they actually did real things.
Okay,
they got what? 2, 4, 5, 7 out of 8 possible points?
Oh, that sounds good. You know what would be better? 8 out of 8.
All right, Drew, you are next.
They could have traded for the core four.
Do I still get to play this game?
Yeah.
You know what? I never get any votes in this thing, but I'm going to nominate Bud Black this week. He's done a really, really good job of navigating what's been a near impossible time to be a leader of the Colorado Rockies in any way. You know, obviously he's just in charge of the on-field stuff, but he's doing daily press conferences. He's managing to do them the best possible way he can, as honest as he can, and spin as positively as he can. And I really appreciate his comments, by the way, as a resident of Boulder on the happenings here this week. He was fantastic about that. So thank you to Bud Black, but he's just the only guy to lead you through a crap time like this.
And speaking of, we had Scott Carpenter nominate for who won the week. The people of Colorado won the week, in Boulder especially. We are not new to experiencing horrific tragedies. However, we stay strong and stay together. And I think that's a great way to end the show. Of course, our heart goes out to all of the families of the victims in the terrible shooting that happened in Boulder. You can go to, I believe it's the ColoradoHealingFund.org is a safe way to donate. And there's also a lot of GoFundMes. Like Scott said, we will stay together and stay strong. But it's definitely been a tough week after all of that. And what a way to end the podcast after you guys said it was such a Monday topic. But we will see you all next week. Of course, you are always welcome to send us topics to talk about on this show. And I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Bye.
Bye. Vote for the Nuggets. They won the week.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, You're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's one.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.